holiday fairs. It's in the final weekend of deer hunting season, at least for firearms. It's still, of course, open for
bow hunting,
muskets, and bow hunting.
Muskets.
It is.
Is that what you call it? Musket?
What do they call it? It's, yeah. City of, so, but there's tons of things going on, is what I was trying to say. City of Virginia has a Twilight Holiday Parade tomorrow. That starts at 5:15 on Chestnut Street and Fifth Avenue. Fireworks will follow on the shore of Silver Lake. And the Bemidji Chorale is presenting The New Day, a celebration in song, tomorrow at 7 and Sunday at 2. It's at Calvary Lutheran Church in Bemidji.
So you've lost. I'm just so flustered. Is it called musket?
Yeah, I remember.
Musket, firearm, and musket, and bow hunting.
Yeah.
Okay. Speaking of muskets, have you seen Ken Burns' Civil War?
No, but someone in my house is watching it and absolutely loves it.
Oh,
he's offering it up.
So
but I'm
good.
Very, you know, it's not, it sounds like it's great. Let's
yeah,
just put it that way.
It's pretty
way.
Violent. This is 91.7 KAXE Grand Rapids, 90.5 KBXE Bagley Bemidji, 89.9 Brainerd, and on your smart speaker, we are People Powered Radio in northern Minnesota. Join us at KAXE.org.
I'm wrong so many times.
What
the
is
older
it?
I get, muzzleloader.
Oh, muzzleloader.
But muzzleloader is pretty old school, too. So I don't know that I'm that. Yeah, I know. Thank you, Carolyn. I'm very embarrassed. That's okay. Hopefully, Carolyn's the only. It's not even, you know, possible that Carolyn's the only DNR employee listening right now, because I think we have quite a, and so I'm sorry, muzzle loader.
You go get a taconite ball and you pound it in the gun barrel and you shoot
sure
a deer
do.
From 12 yards.
Local news up next.
For KAXE News, I'm Larissa Donovan with the Up North Report. The Minnesota Star Tribune reports the man shot and killed in an exchange of gunfire with law enforcement Sunday at Onigam was one of Leech Lake Tribal Chairman Farron Jackson's adopted adult sons. Jackson told the Strib that 37-year-old James Weiss was a foster child placed with the Jackson family as a young boy, remaining in the home past aging out of the foster care system. Jackson and his wife Laurel, who died earlier this year, fostered dozens of children over the years to raise alongside their own. The Minnesota Bureau of Criminal Apprehension has not yet released any further information on its investigation of the fatal incident that left one deputy hospitalized. The deputy was shot in the thigh and has since been released, expected to make a full recovery. Two teenage boys were rescued after falling through the ice near Osage on Tuesday. The Becker County Sheriff's Office reports they were called to Strait Lake around 3 p.m. on a report of two teens in the water. A Hubbard County deputy and a DNR conservation officer were first to arrive on the scene, reporting the boys, ages 13 and 14, were floating inside a sled they were sitting in while trying to move across the ice. A DNR conservation officer broke through the ice and launched a boat, allowing authorities to reach the teens. The boys were reportedly trying their hand at early season ice fishing, but authorities warn ice on area lakes is still too thin. At least 4 inches of clear, solid ice is recommended for walking on, but ice should never be considered 100% safe. St. Louis County election workers were honored Thursday in the second round of the Minnesota Excellence in Election Awards from the Secretary of State's office. Megan Buffington has the story.
Secretary of State Steve Simon perhaps best reflected the spirit of election workers when he said the 2026 election is not that far away.
We joked that at 8:01 p.m., just after the polls closed in the recent municipal election, the countdown clock began for the next election in 2026. I see a lot of head nods in this room because everyone in the democracy business completely understands what I'm talking about.
Simon addressed the group in the county boardroom Thursday morning. The Excellence in Election Awards were created this year. Three Crow Wing County workers were the first honored in June. John Blevins is an information specialist in the county auditor's office and the main election contact for day-to-day questions. He says he wants to make a difference, and elections really are a service industry.
There's a lot of clerical work that goes into it, and there's a lot of blood, sweat, and tears, sometimes more tears than the other. But I am so proud and excited to continue to be a part of this department.
Blevins was one of five honorees, along with St. Louis County Elections Manager Phil Chapman, Mountain Iron Municipal Services Secretary Amanda Inman, Cook Deputy Clerk Treasurer Don Kehoe, and former Cook Administrator Teresa Martinson. Megan Buffington, KAXE News.
The Minnesota Department of Health recently announced the winners of the State Rural Health Awards. The announcement recognized National Rural Health Day, which was Thursday, and two of the award recipients are Northwest Minnesota practitioners. Nicole Kiso is a certified physician assistant for Headwaters Health in Fauston and was awarded a Rural Health Hero Award. She is described as passionate about supporting the farmers and manufacturers who sustain communities. Kiso and her partners opened their own clinic in Fauston this fall with a mission to ensure that rural communities have access to dedicated providers and advocates for local healthcare resources. The city of Fauston issued an official proclamation for Thursday as Nicole Kiso Day. Dr. Joseph Corser is a medical director at Sanford Bemidji, and he received one of two Lifetime Provider Achievement Awards. Corser has pioneered programs that address critical gaps in rural health care, including a hospitalist program at Sanford Bemidji, the Recovery Medicine Clinic for people with substance use disorders, and the trauma program that earned Sanford Bemidji a Level 3 trauma designation in 2020. The awards are given annually to individuals and groups who have made a significant contribution to improving rural health in Minnesota. That's it for the Up North Report. Find more of our stories and photos at KAXE.org, where you can also find content from our music, phonology, and morning show teams. Sign up for the Buzz newsletter for the week's best stories and audio from your favorite community radio station. From the KAXE News Desk, I'm Larissa Donovan, telling the stories of Northern Minnesota through local news.
The Up North Report is made possible by Woodland Bank, serving the area since 1920 with locations in Grand Rapids, Cohasset, Hill City, and Deer River. Woodland Bank believes in building community and serving local nonprofits like KAXE.
Green Cheese listeners know how important it is to support stations like KAXE KBXE.
Anyone who can, be sure to donate, because as all of us know who listen to this, Green Cheese and all the other programming on the stations, we really, really love it and don't want anything to happen to it. So it's really important to give what you can.
One thing I wanted to do is I wanted to talk to everybody out there. Radio is important when it's unique and it's interesting and it's local. And given your current funding situation, everybody out there should be doing something about that, no matter how little it is. If everybody did something, it makes a tremendous difference. Think about Saturday nights with no green cheese. That sounds terrible.
Awful. It would be so boring.
This is the queen, and I'm going to make an edict. All cheeses, get your checkbooks out and send in some money to our favorite station and show, and my check will be in the mail tomorrow.
Donate now at KAXE.org.
You can hear Green Cheese Trivia tomorrow night. Justine Jacobson will be your host. It's going to be a great day of programming. Not only do we have Stay Human at 9 o'clock, we've got Back Porch on America Avenue with Jen Buey, History of Jazz with Paul Kivy. We've got the latest Season Watch pod and Native Lights podcast, and then Eric Otto right before Green Cheese, and then we've got KAXE After Dark, one of our newest programs, Cassidy and McKean Hugh Roberts, punk rock, Saturday night.
Wow.
We get to delve into lots of different things. We were talking about the season of turkey, the season of craft fairs, and the season of deer hunting, and I put my foot in my mouth, like I do very often, and I said musket instead of muzzle loader, and John went,
I didn't go nuts. I just felt it was wrong.
Okay.
Didn't sound right.
And Carolyn reminded me, thank you, Carolyn. She did very kindly, by the way. But Ian from Minneapolis said, when you said muskets, I was like, he said, I know nothing about firearms, but a quick Google search tells me that a musket is a type of muzzle loader. So no need to feel embarrassed. Thank you, Ian. He could feel it. And when he said, when I said muskets, I was like, yeah, duh, obviously muskets. Thank you. I don't know if you know how much that helped me today, because there you go. It's Friday. Yeah.
It's the beauty of radio, man. You got to be on. You got to be accurate. You got to know what's going on. And
it's not always possible.
I'm very polished at that.
Yeah, you are. You are the most polished of the polished.
I study and I rehearse.
Thanks to everybody who has been helping us out. Coming up, we're going to have more from Morning Edition. We are going to hear about Thanksgiving. It's a reminder to talk to the people, ask stories. You know, you don't have to talk about politics. You can ask people about their lives at the Thanksgiving table. StoryCorps has a way to do that. I believe it's on their website, a kind of a guide on how have those conversations. It's a day of listening is what they consider Thanksgiving. So we're also going to hear about how artists in over 40 states are going to spend Friday and Saturday staging exhibitions, performances, and public events to protest what they see as an anti-democratic and authoritarian force. Stay tuned for those stories. And we do have an update coming from the WNBA.
Yeah, we'll talk about that. This 8 o'clock hour.
Yeah, it's good news.
It's good news. Hasn't been accepted yet, the proposal, but it will be.
But it was the first offer to the team, not the other way.
By management,
right.
Yes, by the WNBA. They threw him a big, good offer. And Fred will probably know more about that as we...
You're going to say big, good bone.
Speaking of throwing something at you, how about this? Sunny today, highs 35 to 42. Really no winds. Northwest, 5 miles per hour. 21 to 31 tonight. Saturday, mostly sunny. Or excuse me, I'm sorry, I was trying to be positive. Mostly cloudy, then becoming sunny. Highs in the mid to upper 40s. South winds 5 to 10, maybe a gust of 20. And then Sunday looks perfect. Clear and highs 45 to maybe 50 degrees.
Sun is coming up this morning. There's lots of things going on, including a couple of plays in our region for kids. Mountain Iron Buell Drama and Chair presenting Harry Potter and the Cursed Child. And that is now through November 23rd. At Merritt Auditorium, and the Rife Center presents Disney's The Lion King Jr. That begins today. It's at the Rife Center in Grand Rapids. Shows are at 7 tonight and tomorrow, and 2 p.m. shows on Saturday and Sunday. RifeCenter.org. That'd be great for your grandkids.
I know.
John,
you got to take them. Want to thank Lake Country Journal, a lifestyle magazine since 1997, a local publication sharing stories from the heart of Minnesota. About the places to go, things to do, and people to know in Lake Country. LakeCountryJournal.com.
Yesterday you stopped by, we got to meet your grandson, and it's like a tiny John Bauer walked in.
Yeah, I know.
The look on his face and his impishness, I don't, what a fun kid.
He's got the Bauer curse. He's got the big head. that's very obvious.
I was keeping that.
I could see you were being very kind and not bring that up.
It might.
So thank you, Heidi.
It's one of the cutest heads I've ever seen, so it doesn't matter the size of it. I mean, that kid, right?
Yeah. And and as everybody knows, when you have grandchildren, and they're even when they're wonderful, you do a day's work. We went everywhere. We went to the veterinary clinic, blah, 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 stores. Got home exhausted. He took a 3-hour nap. I took a 2-hour nap.
I was going to say, who, you or him?
Both of us. We were shot. Big day.
The Friends of the Grand Rapids Area Library are holding a holiday book boutique on Monday. It's from 10 to 6. It's at the library. There's all kinds of books, puzzles, and games.
And Northern Community Radio's Board of Directors meets at 6 p.m. on Monday, the 24th, at Grand Rapids and on Zoom. This is an open meeting. Members and the general public are invited to attend. For more information, email comments at kaxc.org or call us 218-326-1234 during business hours. Regular meetings of our board of directors are held the fourth Monday of the month. The board's meeting schedule is at kaxc.org.
We are looking for your help. Coming up before 9 o'clock, we are learning about the Grand Rapids Centennial Rotary Club. They have a free Thanksgiving meal next Thursday on Thanksgiving at St. Joseph Catholic Church. But we want to know from you, what other free meals are there out there for Thanksgiving next week? Text us 218-326-1234.
It's Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Leila Faldel.
And I'm A. Martinez. Today and tomorrow, artists from Alaska to Florida are participating in what they say is creative resistance to authoritarianism. More than 600 Fall of Freedom events have been announced. NPR's Anastasia Siulkas spoke with some of the artists.
I think the reality is that both artists and institutions right now are feeling this fear, and we're feeling unmoored about what we are supposed to do.
That's Eric Gottesman. He's a visual artist based in Washington, D.C. He's also co-executive director of Four Freedoms, an arts organization that promotes civic engagement. He says artists and arts presenters are feeling scared and isolated after incidents like the firings of programming staff at the Kennedy Center and an executive order requiring an audit of Smithsonian museums. In August, President Trump posted on social media that museums all over the country are, quote, the last remaining segment of woke. That's where Fall of Freedom is stepping in. Two of the organizers are visual artist Dred Scott and playwright Lynn Nottage.
Dred approached me with an idea for an artistic action. I was myself feeling very paralyzed by how quickly things were shifting in this country and knew I wanted to respond to the rising tide of fascism, but wasn't sure how. And then when he asked me to be part of Fall of Freedom, I thought, yes, this is a beautiful organizing principle.
Dred Scott's idea was to give artists an open-ended framework in which to use their creativity to speak to this moment. He says it's happening at a time when many cultural institutions, like museums and live event presenters, seem to be cowed by current politics.
These individual institutions are trying to make decisions for their own individual survival and trying to figure out how to sort of continue to make work under fascism. And we're trying to say, no, actually, let's all stand up. They might be able to pick one or two of us off, but they can't get us all if we all collectively stand together.
Dred Scott says art has always been a catalyst in social movements and political protests.
What would the civil rights movement have looked like without Billie Holiday doing Strange Fruit? Or what would the resistance to fascism have looked like without Picasso painting Guernica?
Other marquee names who are participating in the Fall of Freedom include musician John Legend, filmmaker Ava DuVernay, and author Ann Patchett. But it's also zine making in Homer, Alaska, a performance of the musical Les Miserables in Portland, Maine, and a dance party in Cheyenne, Wyoming. An arts organization in Moscow, Idaho, a city of about 27,000 people, is planning 2 days of events, including a roundtable discussion on civil disobedience and an open mic night. Roger Rowley is Moscow Contemporary's executive director. He's thinking of this as just the start of a creative movement. It's right there in the name, he says. You can think of the fall in Fall of Freedom as a decline or as part of a cycle, a season.
This is the Fall of Freedom, and there's quite likely a winter of freedom that we're going to have to continue to struggle through, but we'll get to a spring of freedom and a summer of freedom on the other side. You put in the energy now, and you reap the rewards later.
Anastasia Tsoulikas, NPR News, New York.
It's Friday, and this week we hear a StoryCorps holiday tradition called the Great Thanksgiving Listen. It's where young people sit down to record interviews with their elders using the StoryCorps app. For the past 10 years, Stacy Flannery's history students at Glenbrook South High School near Chicago have collected conversations.
My students have recorded literally thousands, and I have listened to every single interview from start to finish.
3, 2, and there we go. Okay, this is my grandmother. Say hello.
Hello.
One that stands out is a student who said that her beloved uncle came back from Vietnam and told his family, I don't want to talk about it ever again. So I said to her, it's been a long time, and maybe he would be open to talking to you about it.
Was there a moment you remember being really scared?
Yeah, we had some fights that scared the living hell out of you.
He had picked up a coffee on the way to the interview, and you can hear him crunching the styrofoam cup as he's talking because it is so difficult for him, but he's doing it for his niece because he loves her.
Hello, my name is Leandro Arredondo. I am 16 years old, and I am in the TV room of my grandfather's house.
My name is Ramiro Prudencio. I'm 86 years old.
I wish everyone could see the smile on my face because I love the way he helped Leandro see that some of the most difficult things could potentially be the best things that ever happened to us.
I lost my right eye. My accident, I want to repeat for emphasis, was never a handicap for me. It was an incentive, and I think it has guided very much of my life.
There is one person I wish I could have interviewed,
And that is my grandfather, George Flannery. I'm one of eight. And my grandfather had a unique ability to make all of us feel like we were the center of his world. So I'm honoring my grandfather by making sure my students interview the important people in their lives. What I believe the world needs more than ever is connection. And one of the things I'm hearing more and more in the interviews is that they're living in a world where conversation isn't valued. And I cannot tell you how many times someone has said, no one has ever asked me this. And my students, they know that the meaning is only going to increase with time. And that feels good.
Stacey Flannery and her students in Glenview, Illinois. You can become a part of the Great Thanksgiving Listen by recording an interview with your loved ones using the StoryCorps mobile app. Learn more at StoryCorps.org.
Major support for StoryCorps comes from Subaru. The Subaru Share the Love event runs through January 2nd. By year's end, Subaru and its retailers will have donated more than $350 million to charity. Subaru, more than a car company. And from Dignity Memorial, for many families, remembering loved ones means honoring the details that made them unique. Dignity Memorial is dedicated to compassion in every detail of a life celebration. DignityMemorial.com.
This is NPR News.
Now my room has got two windows, but the sun never comes shining through. You know it's always dark and it's dreary since I broke it off with you. I live on a lonely avenue. Lonely Avenue. Girl wouldn't say I do. So sad and blue.
I could cry, could cry, could cry. I could die, could die, could die. And I live on a lonely avenue. Lonely Avenue. Now my covers, they feel like lead now, and my pillow feels like stone. Well, I've tossed and turned, so every night I'm not used to being alone. I live on a lonely avenue. Little girl wouldn't say I do. Well, I feel so sad and blue, and it's all on a lonely avenue. Lonely avenue. I live on a lonely avenue.
I live on a
lonely avenue.
I live on a
lonely avenue. Lonely avenue.
Yeah.
Lonely avenue.
Yeah.
Holy smokes, goosebumps, I have them. That's so good.
Almost want to smoke after that.
John Batiste, you know what I mean? And Randy Newman.
Lonely Avenue off the new John Batiste record where he's got a bunch of duets like that.
I asked you then, did Randy Newman write it? Did John Batiste write it?
I thought Randy Newman had, but it's not true. Doc Pomus wrote it, and it was originally recorded by Ray Charles.
Wow.
What an incarnation there.
People say you hear a piece of music on KXC that's just keeps you aware of what's going on, that is one of them. Man.
Coming up, we are learning more about the negotiations with the WNBA and money.
I'll just read this because it's easier a little bit. The Women's National Basketball Players Association does not view the WNBA's latest collective bargaining agreement as something to move forward with. The league's proposal reported includes a revenue sharing component that, in combination with a base salary, would allow players to earn a maximum salary of more than $1.1 million and an average of more than $460,000 and a minimum of more than $220,000. The 2025, the league's minimum was $66,000 and Supermax was $249,000. So that sounds like, you know, when you hear that, it's really good. But the players do not want a fixed salary system, and instead they want one based more directly on revenue, such as in the NBA, where the salary cap is determined by basketball-related income. So it's just interesting.
Mm-hmm. More for Morning Edition on it.
Yeah.
This is Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Leila Faldin.
And I'm A. Martinez. The U.S. has arguably not had a prominent women's pro baseball league since the World War II-era All-American Girls League. That's the one featured in the movie A League of Their Own. But last night, that changed.
Tonight, we make history. Welcome to the inaugural 2025 Women's Pro Baseball League Draft.
That's sports journalist CJ Silas, who hosted the virtual event. For more on all this, we reached out to Emma Bacchelleri, who writes for Sports Illustrated. So, Emma, four teams, New York, San Francisco, Boston, and the City of Champions, Los Angeles. So how's this league going to work?
Yeah, so for this first year, it's going to be playing at a neutral site in Springfield, Illinois. It's a very small operation, so starting out with minimal travel costs, all centralized in one place that fans can visit. And then the plan is that in future years, those teams are going to be based in those cities. It will operate more like a traditional league, but starting off very small this summer, starting play in August in Springfield, Illinois.
Okay, so it's going to be during the Major League Baseball season.
Yes, pretty short season, August and September, but right in the heart of that MLB home stretch of the season there at the end.
Okay, so, you know, I know the NCAA does not have women's college baseball teams, so where is this league going to get players from?
Yeah, it's pretty interesting if you look at the draft list of the players who were selected last night that you really see representation from all over the baseball world. So in those top 10 picks alone, you had Japan, Korea, the Dominican, Canada, basically anywhere you think of as a baseball-playing country, you have players coming from there to play in this league. And then in terms of the American contingent, you know, even though there's never really been a pipeline for girls and women who play baseball, there always have been some women who have tried to make that work for them. And so there are women who ended up playing college softball, but have continued playing, you know, in men's rec leagues, doing whatever they can to stay playing the sport that they love. There's a women's baseball national team, which competes in the Women's Baseball World Cup every 4 years. So there are a fair amount of American players, too, as well as all of these international players.
Yeah, and Monet Davis, who, if everyone remembers, when she was 13, she was at the Little League World Series. She was selected by the Los Angeles club. You got some star power already in this league.
Yeah, I think, you know, really for most girls, the only time you are going to be known as a baseball player is as one of those only girls at the Little League World Series. And you actually have quite a few who have come into this league who were known as the only girl on their team 10 years ago or so, and now have a chance to play with other girls and women in an opportunity like this.
Yeah, Major League Baseball has invested in professional softball. Also, the Women's College World Series set a ratings record last year. What do you think has changed about people's attitudes toward women's pro sports like baseball and softball?
I think the biggest thing is just the belief that this is an investment worth making, that this can be smart business sense, that there are audiences that want to watch women's sports, and also that there's space for multiple women's sports, right? That they're not going to cannibalize each other, that you can have, in this case, both a pro softball league is getting off the ground at the same time as this pro baseball league. And there is a real belief among the organizers that you can have both.
That's Emma Bacchelleri with Sports Illustrated. Emma, thanks a lot.
Thank you.
For one and all to play ball with the members of...
This is Morning Edition from NPR News. Our theme music was inspired by B.J. Lederman. I'm E. Martinez.
And I'm Layla Faulton.
I won't watch it religiously, but I'll watch it.
Oh, you're on, John.
Oh, sorry.
I just asked John if he would watch women's pro baseball.
I absolutely would, but probably not like I would watch as, a traditional baseball. But it alarmed me because I didn't know that there were that many women playing baseball.
Yeah,
softball is what you think of.
Well, and that's where a lot of women have ended up because that's their only opportunity. But some have, been on men's teams and have been playing, and other places have it more, have more baseball. So it'll be interesting. I'm excited, of course, for the unrivaled season will begin in January. Perfect for a non-sports sort of person. There's two games per week, and they're an hour long each.
And they're televised.
Yes, they are. Every single one of them.
Mm-hmm.
So should be a lot of fun. I believe there are at least four five
teams.
Links players playing. I think five. So should be a lot of fun. Thanks for tuning in. I'm Heidi Holton with John Bauer. We'll talk more about sports, of course, coming up after 8 o'clock. We're also going to have some breakfast, unless I crack into these moose bars that John brought for me. But
they will shut you down.
I think.
You better wait a little bit.
That's going to be at home later. Is that okay?
Yeah,
okay.
That's good.
How do I deal with not offering it to my coworkers?
Well, you're not supposed to. You say gave that it on to me. Air. I you couldn't bring in 12.
Okay, you gave it to me and Tom, right?
Yes.
Home.
Yes.
Okay. All right. Okay.
Yeah. What's Malachi's going to come in here now? All upset.
Yeah, I know.
Try and do something
classic
good,
Malachi.
And you just can't please everybody these days.
They're mine.
Hey, we want to thank the Grassroots Concert Series presenting the Weary Ramblers tonight at 7 p.m. at the Livewell Nightclub and Coffee Bar located on the Journey Church in Nisswa. Doors open at 6:30. The full fall lineup can be found at grassrootsconcerts.org.
Sunny skies today, highs 35 to 42 across the region with northwest winds around 5. Mostly cloudy tonight, lows 21 to 31. And Saturday, mostly cloudy, becoming sunny, highs in the mid to upper 40s. South winds 5 to 10, gusting up to 20. Looks nice on Sunday with mostly clear skies, 45 to 50 degrees.
You know where I'm going to be?
In the deer stand.
I'll be golfing.
Do you like the way I said that?
Yeah.
I worked on that one.
Oh, boy.
Typical? Yeah, it's where John always is, that's for sure. Hey, there is another tailgate pantry happening in Bemidji, and that is this Sunday from 2 to 4. It's in the Farmers Market parking lot downtown. You can bring, swap, or take food and hygiene items. Right now, though, it is time for best wishes. We do our best to wish our friends and neighbors happy birthday and happy anniversary. And don't forget, you can text in if you want to be our guest on What's for Breakfast, 218-326-1234. Today is November 21st. Sandy Tardif and Jack Greenlee, happy 29th anniversary to you. They're from Aurora. Karen Forbes, happy birthday to you, Karen. I think she's, maybe the speed limit?
She is.
I mean, the low speed limit.
Yeah.
The really low
minimum,
speed.
Minimum.
Yes. Yeah, low. Not a freeway speed limit, if you know what I'm saying. Rich McClear, one of the founders of KEXE in Sitka, Alaska, happy birthday to you. And our very own Kate Greeley, who is on an island somewhere. Happy birthday to you, Kate Greeley.
And tomorrow, Bob Walker's having a birthday. He's 70 from Gein. Matt Brezvin is 55 from Rosemont, Minnesota. Emma Greenlee is 27 from Aurora. And Tom Jones is 73 from Cohasset.
Not unusual.
Let's go back. Let's go back to the Tardifs and the Greenleys. The 29th anniversary does not have a traditional theme, making it a unique opportunity for creative, modern, and personalized gifts, Heidi. Hmm. Modern themes could include furniture, dried celosia, stuff like that. Do you know what that is?
No.
Okay.
Is that plastic? Cellulose?
I hope it's not dried plastic. It just doesn't sound like the 29th anniversary is going to be very spectacular.
Yeah. Dinner out. I mean, that'd be fun, right?
Yeah. Focus on some garnet jewelry.
I think garnet.
Garnet? Okay, well, how am I supposed to know
well,
that?
Well, it's my birthstone, so I know that. Garnet.
Really?
Not like the basketball player.
Kevin Garnett.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it's garnet.
What color is garnet?
Red.
Oh.
Yep.
Wow.
A deep red.
Wow, I didn't know that.
Yeah. Hmm. We want to wish you all a happy birthday and happy anniversary. And this morning, I want to wish a very happy birthday to someone we all miss dearly, Jesse Davis. And this is a lady that he and I enjoyed together many, many times.
My life is likened to a bargain store. May have just what you're looking for. If you don't mind the fact that all the merchandise is used, but with a little mending it could be as good as new. Why, you take for instance this old broken heart. If you will just replace the missing parts, you would be surprised to find how good it really is. Take it and you never will be sorry that you did. The bargain store is open, come inside. You can easily afford the price. Love is all you need to purchase all the merchandise, and I can guarantee you'll be completely satisfied. Broken dreams and plans that didn't last. I'll trade them for a future. I can't use them anymore. I've wasted love, but I still have some more. The bargain store is open, come inside. You can easily afford the price. Love is all you need to purchase all the merchandise. And I can guarantee you'll be completely satisfied. My life is likened to a bargain store, and I may have just what you're looking for. If you don't mind the fact that all the merchandise is used, but with a little mending it could be as good as new.
Yeah, I've never heard that song before.
Dolly Parton with The Bargain Store, one of my faves of hers. It's just such a, well, all of her songs, of course, are well written.
You don't mind if the merchandise is used.
Yeah. Thanks so much for tuning in. That's going out to Jesse Davis. We sure miss him. And yeah, the one thing is we're not the only ones, right?
That's right.
Not. Anyway, coming up, we are going to be having Phenology, our daily dose of Phenology, and then we're hoping for a little bit of breakfast today.
I want to thank Hug Hydronics, committed to making in-floor heating simple, providing in-floor heating solutions for both commercial and residential. HugHydronics.com. Also want to thank the Timberlake Restaurant in Grand Rapids, featuring Martini Monday each week from 5 to 8. Offering guest martinis and menu items such as chicken Kiev Reuben, a fettuccine Alfredo, the dinner menu, and additional information available at TimberlakeLodgeHotel.com. tioga.com.
Lots of things going on in our region. Just a reminder, the Tioga Recreation Area near Cohasset is closed now through November 23rd due to deer hunting. And the Grand Rapids Area Library Fund, they have has been established at the Grand Rapids Area Community Foundation. The goal is to raise $300,000 by September 1st of 2026. Funds will be earmarked for the library's budget. Our news team continues to follow funding, local funding of places like libraries throughout our region at our website at kaxe.org. Also, lots of stuff going on in the Bemidji area when it comes to their public library. They do once a week a silent reading event on Monday nights. You go there and read together, a read-in. It'll be from 5 to 6 o'clock this Friday. We gather to read quietly together, demonstrate support, and celebrate the library.
We've read this one before, but tell people about it. The Grand Rapids Centennial Rotary Club offers a free Thanksgiving meal on Thursday the 27th from 11 to 1 at the St. Joseph Catholic Church. If you would like your meal delivered, place your order by Tuesday, November 25th.
We're going to learn more about that coming up at 8:45 this morning. And Bemidji State University has a trombone choir performance this Monday night at 7:30 in Bangsburg Hall on the BSU campus. Will Albert be there to listen to all trombones?
And the United Way of Northeast Minnesota invites high school seniors to write an essay on the biggest need you see to your community and your ideas to address that need. Open to those in Coochching and Lake of the Woods counties, plus the entire Iron Range. Find more at UnitedWayNEMN.org. I love that. Deadline is January 1st.
We're going to just say this one early. Kathy Davies has written in, and even though it's Sunday, we'll be announcing it on Monday. Dodie Davies, her mom, celebrating her 94th birthday. Kathy and Dodie, I saw you last night, but didn't get a chance to say hi. Hope you have a good early birthday. Dodie, was good to meet you recently. The 16th annual Brainerd Turkey Run is on Thanksgiving morning. It starts at 9 from the Brainerd Armory. Proceeds benefit Shriners Hospitals for Kids. Run or walk 1 mile or 5 kilometers. Find more info and register at BrainerdTurkeyRun.com.
And one more free offering. The Minnesota State Parks are offering a free admission on Friday, the 28th of November. Get out and explore your favorite park or find someone else new.
Salvation Army in Hibbing has a free Thanksgiving meal on Wednesday, November 26th from 4 to 6. There'll also be games, crafts, and karaoke. I don't know how people have different ways they say that one. Time now for John Latimer. It is our daily dose of phonology.
On today's date, November 21st, 1986, I come across first the evidence and then the bird itself. Black-backed woodpeckers are not common here, but they do frequent the area and like the black spruce swamps and tamarack trees. And if you happen to be out in an area like that, the easiest way to know if there are black-backed woodpeckers in the area is to look at the snow and look for bark, because these woodpeckers are magicians when it comes to flaking bark off of trees and finding insects that would be hiding beneath the flakes of bark. I once watched one that made just a stroke on one side and maybe two strokes on the other, and off would pop a piece of bark. And then if there were an insect there, he would gobble it up. And the same thing would happen again. Maybe two strokes and then a stroke on the other side and gobble up anything that might be underneath. The ultimate result is that the snow underneath these trees gets all covered in flaked bark. And if you happen to see that, make your efforts to discover the black-backed woodpecker that has been feeding in that area.
You can catch the latest Season Watch podcast that includes John Latimer, includes student voices from around our region, me and Charlie Mitchell. That's right, I got to grab your phone and put it on your...
Yeah.
Provide that service for John Bauer. I'll sign him up for that podcast. But you can also just listen to it on our website or hear it on Saturdays at 1:30, Sundays at 10:30.
Yeah, I don't know what happened, but when you said me and Charlie Mitchell, I thought that was the name of a new band.
Oh. It is not.
No. It is not.
Yep.
Are we going to do a little bit of breakfast here soon?
I think so.
I hope people... This is a time where people are preparing meals. They're thinking about meals. They're stressing about meals.
Or they already ate.
Or they already ate. I mean, I'm talking like preparing for Thanksgiving.
Oh,
and
I
just
see.
Trying to put the menu together and stressful. And maybe they're going to have a Thanksgiving with their whole family. Maybe they're just going to bring someone in that's alone. We really would love to hear from you for what's for breakfast. Put us in the spirit.
Yeah. We'd love, you know, even if it's thinking ahead to next Thursday, do you do much for breakfast on Thanksgiving Day? You know, that's a question. If you're having a, if you're making a big meal, do you hold off, or is it the more you eat, the more you eat?
Could be.
One of those deals. We want to hear from you. Be our guest on What's for Breakfast. Give us a call, 218-326-1234.
It don't matter if you're tall. It don't matter if you're small. It don't matter if you're blue or green or any shape at all. 'Cause I'll be yours and you'll be mine to last. And we'll be friends holding fast. You don't have to be smart. You don't have to play a part. What better thing could ever be than a kindly heart? And I'll have yours, and you have mine to last. We'll be friends, holding fast. Talk all day, I'll listen.
We will listen. We will listen intently, and we will also pose a lot of questions to you in a very lovely spirit.
Yeah, they won't be
spirit.
Difficult questions. They're questions you can answer.
Well,
it could be probing.
Yeah.
I'm nervous now. I'm nervous. That's
text
like,
us. Join us on What's for Breakfast, 218-326-1234. Did I say text? Call us.
Call us.
Cows jumping over the moon.
Old wrinkles start to twinkle when they hear our tune. And all the while.
It is time for What's for Breakfast on the Friday morning show. We pull up a chair, to one of our members' kitchen tables. We get to know them a little bit better. And
we think
I believe,
he's there.
Dennis, are you with us?
I sure am.
Yay. Now, Dennis, where are you calling from?
Well, I'm calling from just south of Evelyn.
Okay. And have you had your breakfast?
I sure have.
Nice. You are positive this morning.
Well, hey, it's all good, you know?
Yeah. What'd you have?
I had a cup of coffee with an oatmeal raisin cookie and a date-filled sugar cookie.
Oh!
We like you, Dennis. Did you do any dippage? Dipping in the coffee?
No, there's no dippage. The cookies right. that I have are moist. And
I see.
Yeah.
I see.
I got so we had an oatmeal raisin, and what was the other one?
A date. Filled sugar cookie.
Date.
My mom made date filled cookies for Christmas,
oh, no.
And honest to
he's
goodness,
crying again.
They are so. So Dennis, what is your favorite of those two? Is that like asking your favorite kid?
Well, you can ask me that too. I have two of them, and they're both my favorite kids.
Aw.
The cookie, I would say, is the date filled, and they come from a local chain grocery store.
Okay, so when you're sitting at the coffee at the dining room table, and you know you're going to have two cookies, which one are you going to have first? Because that is a process in itself.
Well, I tell you what, I've got a standard poodle, and he kind of dictates what I'm going to have.
What do you mean? He knows which.
Well, he looks at me and he says, "Okay, the sugar cookie first."
What's his name or her name?
Wait, did I already say we like Dennis?
Yeah, I know. Before. Okay.
Well, his name is Brackett, like a bracket on a wall.
Oh.
What? Brackett? How does that come about?
Well, I had a very good friend of mine at work, and his grandfather's name was Brackett, and his name was Brackett, and I wanted to name our son Brackett. Well, we never had one. So, a son. So, we got Brackett as a boy, so we named him Brackett.
Well, I just thought a couple of minutes ago you said you have two sons. Am I?
No, yeah, two daughters.
Oh, two daughters. Yeah. Okay. Yes. I love Brackett. That's outstanding. It just kind of threw me a little bit.
So, tell
us. He's a character. He's looking at you right now. We just finished our walk.
Oh. Is he white?
No, he's black.
Okay.
Oh, he's black.
And, A little one?
Oh, no. Standard.
Oh, he's standard. Standard.
Okay.
Oh,
all right.
And he doesn't shed?
Nope, does not shed.
Oh, aren't dogs the greatest thing in the world? So tell us about your walk. Is it a normal routine or do you mix it up?
Well, with deer season, it's been mixed up a little
bit.
We used to walk a dirt road and then a field. Now we just have to stay on a dirt road in a different area just to give the hunters there.
Sure.
Do you make a lot of noise, or does Brackett have an orange gown?
He's got an orange bandana on, and he looks styling.
Well, you got to send us a photo for crying out loud.
So, Dennis, I have a question. So, is it just normal to have these delicious cookies sitting around your house, or was there something special happening?
Nope, that's got into a routine because a number of years ago I had a broken ankle, and I kind of needed the oatmeal raisins to help me out.
Okay.
And how
loud and clear we hear you.
And in what way does the date cookie help you out?
Hey,
well, that's just a treat.
Yes.
Oh, that's fair.
I like
so we
it.
Haven't even discussed the coffee. Is it just plain Jane coffee, or are you a snob?
I'm kind of a snob. I like French roast, and it's the little pods.
The Keurig.
How many pods a day do you go through?
Well, myself, just one pod, but I probably drink a pot of coffee a day easily.
Wait, no. So you have one pod, but then you also have a pot.
Right,
of coffee?
I keep a pot out in the garage.
Oh, sure.
The garage, do you have a workshop out there?
Not heated, though. That's the problem. I'm going through garage withdrawals right now, and so is Brackett. He likes hanging out there.
That's probably why you have a coffee pot, though. You get a little warmth off of that.
Right, right, right.
And I'm sorry, where do you live, Dennis?
South of Eveleth.
We live just south of Eveleth on Long Lake.
Okay, all right.
Yeah.
And are you a lifelong resident of Eveleth?
No, actually, I call Eveleth home, but I'm from Orr.
Oh, well, that's okay.
That's totally different.
That's totally different than like Minneapolis or something. I mean, come on.
Right.
Don't beat yourself up.
All right, let's start talking about the daughters.
Okay. We have two daughters.
Mm-hmm.
One lives in Hibbing, and the other one is in a little town in California called Morro Bay.
Oh, I have friends who spend the winter there, and they say it's beautiful.
Really?
Yeah.
In Morro Bay?
Yeah.
Really?
For real.
Wow. It's a beautiful, beautiful town. It really is.
And where did you say it is in California? Southern?
It's right between San Francisco and L.A.
Oh, okay.
It's almost smack dab right in the middle.
Is it hard having her that far away?
Yes and no.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, the one in Hibbing, the daughter in Hibbing, we see her three, four times a year.
What? You know, so what? Wait a minute. She's in Hibbing. She's like 20 minutes away. You see her four times a year?
Hey,
right. It's terrible.
She's probably...
Here's the thing, John. I'm 67 years old.
So
I've been retired since 19. I haven't really had a quiet day since then.
Wait a minute. Now, you retired when you were 19?
No. In 19. 2019.
Holy.
I'm sorry.
Holy smokes.
All right. What is your
I had good parents.
What is your daughter's name? So is it your daughter's too busy or you're too busy to see her?
We all are.
All right.
Let me tell you, my wife, she's a nonstop goer. I'm a nonstop goer. Our daughters are. I mean, it's quite the family.
And it sounds like Brackett is too.
Oh, yeah, he keeps me going for sure.
Okay, so might you see your daughter, who's 27 miles away, at Christmas time or Thanksgiving?
Oh, yes, okay. Yes.
Is that two of the four times?
Yes, I'm sorry to say.
What the heck? I'm sorry.
And what about the daughter at Morro Bay?
We see his sister 12 times a year.
we see her on an average of twice a year.
Average.
Yeah, you know, the numbers aren't there.
They aren't there. They're not adding up, Dennis. What the heck?
Do you text or phone, or is it just...
Oh, yeah. We keep in touch.
Okay.
Yeah, we're not totally non-communicative.
Do you love her?
Love them both to death.
Sounds like it. Holy smokes.
We love them so much, we leave them alone.
Oh, my gosh. We're doing the church laugh, Heidi. Now, this is beautiful. Dennis, you're a beautiful human being. I love you.
So, Dennis, you retired in 19.
Oh, my gosh.
Do you want to tell us what you retired from?
I retired from United Taconite.
I had
43 years with the company. It was a great, great life. It really was.
Wow. Now, most people wouldn't say that. Why was it a great life? What were some of your jobs?
Well, see, John, I was a laborer, so I did everything from running a number two shovel up to running the big shovels that load the production trucks. So I was able to do everything. So that made a good life out there.
And you actually enjoyed it.
I did.
Wow.
Yes, I still miss, I miss the people, of course, but the work was fun, too. I miss running equipment.
I'll tell you what, you need to be a motivational speaker because... You have motivated me so much. I can't even get over it. Oh, my gosh. So,
thank you, John. I appreciate it.
Yeah, and I'm being serious, but what kind of a co-worker with you? Did you joke around? Were you a serious guy? Did you swear a little?
Always, what's the deal? We always had a laugh. Always. That's just the way work was. I mean, we've made something good out of everything in our lives, and work was one of them, you know.
Holy cow.
So, yeah. And Heidi, you and I had something in common. I grew up on a resort.
Oh, did you?
Yeah.
That was awfully fun, wasn't it?
It was. Yeah. And my folks offered it to me when I was 17, and I said, Dad, are you nuts?
It's so much work.
You know?
But listen,
17.
Yeah, and that also probably made us hard workers, don't you think, with that background?
Oh, I believe that 100%. That's where my work ethic came from.
Yeah. Yep. Wow, that's great. Was it a big resort?
We had 17 cabins.
Whoa.
Much bigger than ours. Yeah. Huh.
Yeah, we were a fish camp. I mean, there was nothing fancy, but
we
were full all the time.
Yeah. We had a... That's fish. We wouldn't have called it a fish camp, but we had two of our cabins we called semi-modern because they didn't have bathrooms. And that's usually where the true fishermen stayed, were in the semi-modern cabins.
Semi-modern.
I mean, we had some, you know, the places I had to clean out the biffies and showers where they could go, central showers area. But, you know.
So, Dennis,
we go back so far with ours. Well, we sold it in 76, but we had a public sauna with a wood stove in it, you know. I mean, the liability was unbelievable, you know, but that's the way it was.
Oh my gosh. So that was part of the deal, fishing and sauna.
Fishing, sauna, and Dennis.
And so, Dennis, what's your wife's name?
My wife's name is Virginia.
And do you see her a couple times a year? Oh my gosh, Dennis.
I wish she could be hearing this today, but she's on her walk. And
she can hear it, though. She can hear it. She can go back and listen to it online.
In an archive, you can check it
out. Oh, all right. Well, you know, I guess we might have to. I've been wanting to call you a few mornings now. A couple times it's been a reservation made, you know.
you have made my, I mean, I want to talk to you for like 40 more minutes, but tell us what's going to happen at Thanksgiving at your place. I mean, obviously, well, the girls aren't.